Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, where curiosity chases truth. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, here with you every Tuesday at noon on KVSH 101.9 FM and on voiceofvashon.org at your convenience. This month on Real Talk, we're exploring politics and government and how it affects each of us personally. So you know your vote matters to your life. This week, the topic is policing, police accountability, and how some in King County seek to balance police accountability with community safety. I'm joined by three members of the Seattle King County People Power Accountability Working Group, or SCAPAWG for short. They are Bailey DeYoung, retired director of King County's Civil Rights Enforcement Office and former public defender in Seattle and Walla Walla. Welcome, Bailey.
Hey, Susan.
Also on the panel is Eliza Fermansky, entrepreneur, builder, fine artist, and martial arts expert. Welcome, Eliza.
Hi.
Nice to have you. I think you're a story all by yourself. And also joining us is Shannon Chang, detoured aerospace engineer and grassroots organizer. Welcome, Shannon.
Thanks.
There is so much more to say about each of these women, but we only have 28 minutes for the whole show. So I'd like to start with Bailey. Would you please outline for our listeners the components of the four charter amendments that will appear on the November King County ballot?
Sure, Susan. King County is a charter county, and that means our charter is basically our constitution, laying out what the government can do and can't do. And so every 10 years, they set up a citizen commission to take a look at the charter and see if there are any pieces of it that should be changed or amended. And then the county council considers the recommendations of the commission and decides which ones should go before the voters. And so this is one of our years, and the citizen commission rendered its suggestions in last year. And then the council considered them this year and actually put seven on the ballot, but we're mostly concerned with four of them. And that is Charter Amendment 1, Charter Amendment 4, 5, and 6. And the county council also added its own. Actually, number 6 is added by the county council and wasn't part of the commission's recommendations. One concerns inquests, four concerns the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight for the Sheriff's Office. Number 5 concerns making the sheriff an appointed office rather than elected as it is now. And number 6 has to do with the council's ability to change the duties and the functions of the sheriff's office.
Were these amendments stimulated by activity around the protests around the death of George Floyd, or were these?
They actually were not. They came about last year in 2019, but certainly the council's decision to go ahead with them would have been influenced because that happened after the protests.
I know, Eliza, you kind of got interested in politics with these charter amendments, if I read your bio correctly. What is it that stimulated you to become involved in supporting these four charter amendments?
I think what happened was over the past several years, I've signed a lot of petitions and written a lot of emails, and usually it just feels like sending a lot of actions into like just a void. And then when I got a text message from this particular group, it just felt so great to actually be able to actually do some concrete actions, especially getting involved with our King County Council members. I was really amazed by how accessible they were, and how many times I've spoken with them now, which just made me feel so much more empowered as a citizen, as opposed to just continuously emailing the sheriff and various police chiefs about things that are going on. And these four amendments, although they came up through the commission a year ago, they're so much more needed now because passing them gets rid of the blocks that are there right now that are stopping us from being able to make the changes that people are really asking for now.
Let's talk specifics about these charter amendments. Which one of you would like to explain the first one about inquests? Shannon.
Oh, okay. I can try to do inquests.
All right.
Eliza or Bailey, you can jump in. I mean, so inquests, this charter amendment actually affects all of King County. So if any officer involved shooting happens within King County, there is an inquest process to look into what happened in that situation, whether there were, you know, changes in training that could happen. And what's been covered in the inquest in the past has been kind of not well defined. And also, you know, the inquest is one of the only routes that a family member of somebody who has died at the hands of law enforcement gets any kind of closure in terms of understanding, you know, what happened in the last moments of their loved one's life. And so in that regard, you know, this is to me why that amendment is very important, is kind of more for the family's sake and not necessarily that it is going to bring about complete structural change. You know, I think that's a bigger issue. But, you know, for example, here in Seattle, you know, the death of Charlena Lyles struck many of us in 2017. You know, she was a pregnant Black woman suffering from, you know, mental health crisis, and she called for help. And instead of getting the help she needed, she ended up being shot and killed. And, you know, that inquest process has been on hold this entire time, and her family is still grieving and has questions. And, you know, beyond Seattle, there have been deaths across King County, such as Tommy Lay, Jesse Sare, you know, the list goes on and on. And so the inquests, I think, are important for the families.
So if I'm understanding correctly, this charter amendment will clarify that inquests are available to the families of victims of police murder, if you will?
I think currently the process is not well defined, and especially from the family's point of view. I mean, if you imagine you just lost a family member and now you're faced with trying to navigate the system that you have no familiarity with. And so I think part of what this amendment does is it provides a public defender to help, you know, kind of advise the family through the process so that they can understand, you know, what their rights are, you know, what's even happening. Bailey or Eliza, if you know further, please jump in.
So that also would add, it would clarify that an inquest will be ordered by the county executive. That's how it happens when a law enforcement officer's action, decision, or possible failure to offer appropriate care might have contributed. So it broadens the scope, but within limits. And law enforcement officer in this case involves all the local police departments like Seattle, as well, and the sheriff, and also the King County detention facilities, or the detention facilities located in King County, because there is one, at least one, that isn't operated by the county.
So
it makes it more specific.
It doesn't affect just the sheriff, the King County Sheriff's Department either. So every police department in the county and the detention centers. Okay,
yes.
That's charter amendment number one. The Office of Law Enforcement Oversight Subpoena Authority. Who would like to explain that one?
Sure, I will.
There's
so
Eliza.
So that's charter amendment number four that we want to vote yes on. So the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight, OLEO, is responsible for providing oversight of King County Sheriff's Office. It was actually founded in 2006 because of a Blue Ribbon panel that involved the King County Sheriff and a lot of law enforcement experts. And then when it was put into place, this office, it's a civilian oversight body for the Sheriff's Office, within a year, the King County Police Officers Guild, the union for King County Sheriff's Office, shut down pretty much all of OLEO's powers. So that was 14 years ago. And then 5 years ago, because so much had been shut down, there was a charter amendment that voters voted yes on to increase Olio's power. It didn't, however, specifically say subpoena power. And subpoena lets you request documents, evidence, witness, testimony, all of that when we're doing these investigations. So since it didn't specify that, even though it went through, through the voters, the Olio never actually got subpoena power. So currently our civilian oversight body doesn't even have the ability to subpoena documents through these, through this process.
So it sounds like this civilian oversight body has no teeth at this point. Would that be fair to say?
Yes.
And then this amendment is designed to provide some dentures, if you will?
Yeah. Although, so this amendment is specifically saying to give them subpoena power. However, it's still going to need to go back through collective bargaining with the union. So the big thing that this is doing is a really clear voice of the voters saying, like, yes, give our civilian oversight, you know, some teeth, some dentures. We want that. So that then when it needs to go into arbitration, it'll have.
So for our listeners, what sort of situation would I, the average voter, be involved in that would require my eliciting this subpoena power? What sort of situation might there be? Anybody?
So, yeah. Oh, so like even the inquest process that Shannon just talked about in terms of amendment number one, when an event has happened that harm has been caused to a civilian through law enforcement action or inaction, it means that we'd be able to get all that the oversight body would be able to get all the information they need
for the inquest.
Mm-hmm.
Or okay. Any investigation, really. You know, I mean, if I don't know, let's say you were driving through King County and you were stopped by a King County sheriff and something happened which you felt like was inappropriate by that deputy. And so you filed a civilian complaint with the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight. You know, if they felt that your case was worth taking up, then they would try to get information about what had happened. And so for them to be able to subpoena the King County Sheriff's Office, you know, to get, I don't know, I mean, King County Sheriff's Office, they don't use body cams, but, you know, whatever other information might have been available, to try to, you know, determine whether your complaint has actual bearing or not, then that's why it's important. You know, otherwise, if this law enforcement oversight office cannot get evidence, they can't really determine what happened.
So if I'm understanding correctly, right now, without this amendment, if I had a complaint, I couldn't get information that I need to verify that complaint.
Well, not correct? You, the Office of Law Enforcement Oversight.
Would I be working with them?
You have the right to get that information. The Office of Law Enforcement Oversight does. Yeah. So, and for a lot of us on the island, we're activists and we're concerned about police accountability and want Olio to be effective. So me as a voter, I'm concerned because I care about not only violence against people of color, but the treatment of everyone.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Let's go on to the third charter amendment. And I believe, is that number five? It is five.
Yes,
okay.
Correct.
And that is making the King County Sheriff an appointed position. Presumably it is now an elected position. So how would this make a difference? Who wants to take that one?
Pause because it's a meaty one.
Yeah, it is a meaty one. It's the one that's getting the most press attention now. Which one of you would like to answer that or address that?
Well, I can, but Eliza should throw in some too. Right now, the sheriff is elected, and that happened in '96. And before that, they had been appointed that position to avoid the corruption that was endemic in Seattle in the 60s and such, before we became a charter county. And so it has gone back and forth. And there's a nice article in the Seattle Emerald today or yesterday about the forces that came behind putting it on the ballot to make it an elected position. And they basically had Gary Locke at that time wanted to reduce the budget of the sheriff. And so folks came together and said, we don't want that. It was a law and order time, and made the sheriff an elected position, which gave the sheriff's office, the sheriff himself or herself, more power to advocate for their budget and such. So so the whole county votes for the sheriff now, including 75% of the county, which is not directly policed by the sheriff. So City of Seattle and many other cities have their own police forces and never see a sheriff in their jurisdictions. But the rest of us, unincorporated King County and the smaller cities that contract for the sheriff's services, like Burien, like was it
Shoreline? Shoreline? Yeah.
And there's a number of them. They, together with unincorporated King County, those of us policed by the sheriff's office constitute 25% of the population of King County. So basically, 75% outweighs us 25% who are actually dealing with the sheriff on a day-to-day basis. But there are other problems too with having an elected sheriff. A person who runs for sheriff has to be a resident of King County, so that restricts the pool pretty dramatically. And then secondly, you have to want to run for office. And as one of our members said, she's tried to get people to run for office, and a lot of people say, no, it's a rigorous thing to run for office and have your private life exposed, et cetera. So if the sheriff was appointed, nationwide search could be done and the executive could pick the best qualified person. And then that person would be confirmed by the county council. And the county council has indicated that they would be informed by a group of community activists and members. So there would be community feedback in there. Appointment would depoliticize the position, you know. I remember well doing an event with Sheriff Reichert right after he became elected. And it was a whole different animal. You know, it was a politician on stage at our event, not a professional police officer in some ways. I don't really want to get into the description of it. It was a painful thing that I will not forget. And also the appointment would avoid the tensions that we endured last election of a sheriff being challenged by a person who works for him or her. Mm-hmm. And you see the tensions, and there were allegations that there was some improper pressure put by Sheriff Urquhart on people to vote for him, to support him. So a big one for me is that if problems arise with the sheriff, an appointed sheriff can be replaced really rather, well, not quickly, but it would go through a process, but could be replaced a lot easier than an elected sheriff, which requires a recall election.
Let me ask a question about that. How common in the state or in the U.S. is the appointed sheriff versus the elected sheriff?
So
any idea?
I think, for example, if you look at King County, I believe that all of our police chiefs are actually appointed.
Do we have any idea about the rest of the state or the rest of the country, whether this is a common practice? It seems logical to me that that should be a professional, not a politician. But
well, across the country, efforts are being made to make sheriff's offices not elected, but somehow appointed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of information out there about that issue because sheriffs are so powerful in their jurisdictions. There's actually a John Oliver segment on Last Week Tonight that focuses on that. Two of them, one on Joe Arpaio, the Phoenix area sheriff, and then one on the broader issue of the power exercised by sheriffs.
And it's, you know, another piece of this that I think Bailey really brought to my attention working in county government is almost every office within county government is appointed because that provides oversight. It's really unusual that this particular, like if you look at the government as a whole in the county, it's unusual that this particular office has no oversight because it is appointed. Well, it has the oversight of Olio, which we spoke about a couple minutes ago. Toothless.
It is. If I followed the history of this, of the King County Sheriff, I believe, Bailey, you said that in 96, up until 96, it was appointed. And then in order to curb corruption, they decided to make it an elected position? No.
No, it was made appointed in this. I think our charter status started in the 60s or the 70s. It was a reaction to corruption before that.
Because and there was corruption when the sheriff was elected.
Yeah, the sheriff was elected. And then we became a charter county and the sheriff became appointed. And then the reason that it was moved to elected, or, you know, it's all rumor and speculation, but the forces behind it were folks that wanted to give the sheriff more political power and thereby oppose Gary Locke's attempt to cut the police budget, the sheriff's budget. Mm.
So who will have oversight? Should the sheriff become an appointed position, will the King County Commission have oversight over the sheriff's budget?
So it'll be over the budget?
Mm-hmm.
That would be the county executive and the county council, correct, Bailey?
Yeah.
In terms
they're
of
the ones, and they approve the budget right now, but with the sheriff in elected position, he or she has much more power to advocate for more money. And so we have a lot of money going to the sheriff's office.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the four charter amendments that will be on the ballot for the King County voters in November. And we're talking with Bailey DeYoung, Shannon Chang, and Eliza Furmansky, who are members of the name of this group really needs work. Seattle King County People Power Accountability Working Group.
There's actually one more P in there. So it's the Seattle King County People Power Police Accountability.
Yeah,
we definitely need to work on that.
With the acronym of SCPOG.
You've been too focused learning about charter amendments.
Yeah, really. Okay. And we've discussed the three that you folks have been working to pass. Let's talk about the fourth one, which seems pretty fundamental, and that is making the structure and duties of the Department of Public Safety. What exactly does this mean to those of us who live in King County? How will it change things?
So that's a great question. The biggest thing it's going to do is it's going to remove some of the barriers for you to be able to change some things.
How so?
Currently, the King County Charter, the language itself blocks the King County Council from being able to make any changes to how policing services are delivered to King County.
Wait a minute. The King County Council can't make any changes to the delivery of policing right now?
That is correct.
That's pretty shocking. Okay.
Yeah, so a lot of these things that people are asking for right now in terms of developing a more diverse toolkit to deliver public safety responses to people in King County, things like having mental health support teams, being able to respond to mental health crises and rapid response social workers, or even having unarmed code enforcement professionals responding to things like noise complaints and traffic infractions. None of these things can happen with the charter language as it is right now, because the King County Council, which is, see, that those are the people who represent us, who we voted for, who we get to advocate for changes through. They're unable to merge duties. They're unable to make any of these changes. So unless the sheriff himself wants to make these changes, they're not going to happen.
That does really politicize policing, doesn't it? So
mm-hmm. There's one more thing in this amendment, too, that isn't that obvious, but is really critical. Currently, the sheriff is the one who's negotiating with their own union on behalf of public safety.
That sounds so, like yeah, the fox right. watching so the hen house.
Officer, yeah, so it is a police officer themselves that is negotiating with the union. So it's a huge conflict of interest. So currently in those negotiations that happen, the county executive is only responsible for negotiating the fiscal items. And the sheriff is responsible for negotiating everything else, like civilian oversight rules and use of force standards, because those fall into workplace conditions. So we have a situation where the police union is negotiating with the police officer.
Right.
For civilian oversight provisions. So this passing this amendment, voting yes on number six, is going to take away that conflict of interest.
Now, it seems to me that these four different charter amendments kind of interact with one another in that if the sheriff is an appointed position, that will require more collaboration and negotiation between the sheriff and the county council. And if the structure is changed, that will further amplify the need for negotiation among the sheriff's department or between the sheriff's department and the county council. Am I making any sense with that? Can one of you Absolutely. Address the notion of how these four amendments interact to affect police accountability in King County?
Yeah, I mean, I think of these as being foundational for us being able to make changes in King County. You know, the charter amendments themselves, if passed, they don't structurally change anything yet. But what they do is allow for conditions that we could make change in the future. And, you know, most of these changes would come through the normal county government process, you know, where we could go to public hearings and community could provide input through public testimony and things like that, or, you know, stakeholder meetings. You know, I would say what I've seen the opposition to these charter amendments, specifically against 5 and 6, you know, they are framing this as a power grab by the county government. And I would push back and frame it differently in that I think the King County Sheriff's Office doesn't want to cede the power they have to the community that they are being entrusted to serve. You yeah. know, over time, little by little, we've let the power law enforcement has over everyday life increase, and we've seen how hard police guilds fight back when they're the suggestion of needing better oversight over their actions. You know, for example, the King County Police Officers Guild just donated $150,000 to a PAC that is opposing Charter Amendments 5 and 6. So yeah.
They can do that?
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Wow.
In comparison, I think there's like $2,500 raised for these amendments. So just to give a money landscape there.
Well, we are about out of time. So in the about 30 seconds that we have left, I know you folks wanted our listeners to learn where they can find out more information. So do you want to provide those website addresses now?
Yeah, so we have a website. It's wethepeoplepower.org, and you do /KCCA after that. You can find more information about these charter amendments, as well as about a town hall that we're holding this Thursday. And I'd like just to end that, you know, we've seen people come out in huge support for the Black Lives Matter movement and the protests. And so I would tell voters, if you espouse to support our Black neighbors and their fight to be treated equitably, put your actions where your words are. You know, vote yes for King County Charter Amendments 1, 4, 5, and 6, and empower us to have conversations and public discourse about the public safety system we all envision.
That's a perfect close, Shannon. Thank you. Thank you, all three of you, for joining me here on Real Talk. Bailey DeYoung, Shannon Chang, and Eliza Fermansky. Make sure you vote on November 3rd, folks. Thanks for listening to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, and I'll be here next week.